Committee to order. Today, thank you. Today it's 11:32 on Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, and we're in the Ramona Barnes room. Present are Representative Josephson, Representative Knopp, Representative Newman, Representative Tallarico, and myself, Representative Dean Westlake, Chair of this committee. Let's start with housekeeping, everyone. I know we all scrambled around. Please disable your electronic devices, and if they're left on, just put them to vibrate if you need to. And joining us now is Speaker Edgman. So, in case you missed it, Mr. Speaker, we are turning our phones off to silent or vibrate.
Okay.
And before us, we have one new piece of legislation, and joining us now is Representative Tuck as well. And the piece of resolution, or the, it's Joint House Resolution 5, and the bill before the committee today is the resolution urges U.S. Congress to pass legislation to open the coastal plain of Anwar to oil and gas development. The opening of Anwar would be beneficial to both Alaska and the United States. Additionally, this is in my region, House District 40. Under current law, Alaska would receive 90% of the revenue gained from bonus payments and royalties from Anwar. Well, our first priority in House District 40 is subsistence. We want the jobs that come with this. So, additionally, it would create tens of thousands of jobs across the nation, and my people want to work. They absolutely want to work. I wouldn't be offering this resolution if I didn't think that development in that refuge could be done in an environmentally irresponsible way. It has to be responsible. Many of you have seen similar resolutions before, and I'll have my chief of staff here to explain some of the background of this resolution. Mr. Logan is my chief of staff. Would you please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jesse Logan, chief of staff for Representative Westlake. The resolution you have before you, HJR 5, if passed by both bodies, signifies a unified voice from the state of Alaska's legislature to Congress and the new presidential administration that we support the opening of the coastal plain of Anwar for oil and gas development. Specifically, the resolution urges U.S. Congress to pass legislation to open the 1002 area of Anwar. It urges the U.S. Department of Interior to recognize the private property rights of owners of land in and adjacent to the refuge, and it recognizes the efforts of the state of Alaska that is made in developing and deploying renewable energy across the state. So, brief background. I know many of you are very familiar with this topic. The Ark National Wildlife Refuge, Anwar, was created in 1980 with the passage of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, ANILCA. The refuge is nearly 19.5 million acres, and Section 1002 of ANILCA set aside 1.5 million acres for consideration of oil and gas development on the coastal plain of the refuge. That's about 8% of the refuge. And depending on the structure of the federal legislation that would authorize the development and exploration, it's possible that less than 2,000 acres would be needed for surface infrastructure. That represents less than 0.01% of the refuge. This means the footprint will be very small. It's often compared, and I'm sure you've all heard this, to a postage stamp on a football field. Now, according to the Energy Information Administration, the operation of TAPS, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, is uneconomical if it falls below 200,000 barrels a day. We're currently just over 500,000 barrels right now. That's down about 74% from the peak of 2 million in the late 80s. TAPS has seen an average decline of about 5% annually, and less oil means slower moving oil. Slower moving oil means colder oil, and slower colder oil makes complicated engineering and operation of TAPS. The EIA estimates that the development of Anwar would peak in about 10 years after the beginning of production, and the peak flow is somewhere between 500,000 barrels a day and 1.5 million barrels a day. So on the low end, this could double the throughput of TAPS. On the high end, it could quadruple it. The USGS has estimated a mean of about 10.5 billion barrels of recoverable oil. There's some uncertainty with this exact number because nobody has ever developed it, but also some of the uncertainty arises because that recoverable oil is based on $12 to $24 a barrel oil. But in closing, for decades, Alaska has been responsibly developing our natural resources, and we've also maintained some of the highest environmental standards in the world. And for years, Alaska's congressional delegation has been putting forth legislation to open the coastal plain of Anwar. And responsibly developing the coastal plain of Anwar is vital not only to Alaska's economic future, but also to the nation's inner security. This resolution will give our delegation and Congress a clear message and some extra ammunition that the state of Alaska and the legislature supports the passage of that legislation. That concludes my brief testimony. I'm available for questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Logan? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several, either for you or for your staff.
Through the chair.
Thank you. Through the chair, and again, for your staff, for yourself, Mr. Chair, you talked about, probably more for you, Mr. Chair, because it's culturally, this is your region, as you said. Primary argument against opening the 1002 has been the possible effects on the porcupine caribou herd, although you said it's remained strong. Is it your belief in talking to the locals there that we could have considerable more development up there without affecting the locals? I know it's in your resolution, but is that the general sense of the public up there?
You've hit on something, Representative Newman. I think we're missing. We're missing the coastal zone management component of this. And having that and having local input back in there certainly would bolster that. I know the people in that district certainly would welcome the opportunity to have these jobs again. So I'd like to reiterate how important it was to have coastal zone management again. So absolutely.
Follow up on that, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
Specific to that question, a follow up. So you talked about, the management of the herd and the support from the public to do things like that with wildlife. You know, from Kotzebue region, what they did at Red Dog, where they created a subsistence board, a wildlife subsistence board that looks at management of wildlife in these areas for the road going from Red Dog down to the port. You know, and if there's any effect on wildlife, they see that they can stop that project. You know, so do you anticipate something where you would have a local board like that if there was development in the 1002 region where the local natives or other groups in that area could suspend development or oversee the wildlife management in that area?
Actually, that's a good question. And I'm very, I can specifically address the Red Dog one. There is a subsistence committee that was formed at the beginning, right at the beginning. Yep. So everyone knew. There was nothing brought in later on. Everything was above board, and it works. So with that, what's worked for them has been outstandingly brilliant. What works for Anwar is up for debate. I don't know. I cannot answer that because we're not there yet.
On that point, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you for the discussion. I appreciate that. Then in your bottom of your sponsor statement, last paragraph, it talks about urging Congress to take action to development and to do ways to protect the local residents as well as the porcupine caribou herd. Again, I've offered some suggestions as to what you envision on that as far as wildlife management. Do you have anything else to offer there, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I do. And what we will have is further discussions on these. Absolutely will, because just me answering those alone is doing a disservice to the rest of the people in Alaska. And we will have public comments on these things. And I'd like everyone to weigh in. I want to hear both sides of the issue.
I have a couple more. I don't mean to hug them all up.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, through the chair, maybe I can direct this to your staff in the form of a question, and partially in response to Representative Newman's comments and questions. But one big difference with the Northwest Arctic Borough is the fact that it is an organized borough, so that lent more sort of authority or a greater role for this. I think it was an elders, was it the subsistence board that was staffed by elders at the back in the 80s at the outset of the Red Dog project? Maybe I've got that wrong. But
and I can answer that. But what it is, Representative Newman, is it was an agreement between Cominco at the time and Nano Regional Corporation. Through that, it didn't. It went through part and parcel as part of the deal.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess the point I'm trying to get at, it was much more of an enforceable agreement because you later had the formation of a borough, if my chronology of events is correct. But my question through you to your staff would be, I don't think the 1002 area resides in the North Slope borough area. Is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, you're correct, sir.
Okay, so that, again, through the chair, so that sort of maybe adds a little bit more clarity to the question that Representative Newman was asking in terms of what would happen once Anwar opened up, and in terms of perhaps a similar subsistence, sort of a council or commission or whatever it be. I think the whole notion that, you know, that you, well, I won't put words in your mouth, but
no.
My recollection with the Northwest Arctic Borough and the Red Dog was that the borough formation played a big role in local control. I guess we're
going to
all this.
Representative Newman, anything else?
I'm sorry.
Representative Tuck, okay.
I do have a few more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think it is important that we have provisions in here protecting the porcupine caribou herd, mainly because there's going to be oppositions to anything with Congress regarding Anwar. And I think, and if we give them certainty that we are addressing that issue, it gives them better confidence in knowing that we're going to be doing things right in Alaska and protecting everyone's interest and making sure that we still have sound development. So I think it's wise that we put that in the resolution to make sure that they know that we're managing all of our resources properly.
I don't mean to beat a horse there, but this is an important resolution, and it's come through here before, through this body several times. And I think it's a good discussion to have. And right now we're kind of on a wildlife issue, which is very important to me.
Absolutely.
And so do you, I mean, when you see management, is that just trying to feel you out, I guess, maybe as a new legislator, or maybe somebody who comes from that region and spent a considerable amount of time on there, do you restrictions on hunting or anything? Do you see in that, or caribou? Do you, is it a pretty level herd right now? And
it has. There's several herds out there, and it has leveled out. It dropped some, but it has leveled out. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess it kind of a comment, and then I'll have a question for you, and I'm going to address the question to you, Mr. Chair. So having spent a career up there at Prudhoe, and I can tell you that reference had been made to hunting. You know, we were never allowed firearms. You're hunting up there. I think the local population gets to do some, but as visitors and workers, we were not allowed to do so. Archery out in the highways further down. So I think as far as addressing the wildlife concerns in the resolution, I think, you know, we do that through our regulatory process, and I think maybe we might make reference to the regulatory process, but I would be reluctant to insert any details to wildlife management in this resolution. I would make reference to the regulatory process, you know, in that sense that we've done. I can tell you I've set in the middle, when I was up there, we were not allowed to harass, intimidate. I've sat for 4 to 5 hours in a pickup in the middle of the road, surrounded by tens of thousands of them, because we weren't allowed to move, blow the horns. So they're very well protected. You know, we built crossing corridors under pipelines, over pipelines for them as well. So it's been addressed. It's not new technology. So again, I would. If we're going to put anything in the resolution, I would say let's talk about the regulatory process for that. But the question I do have is, you know, Katowic is relatively close, and I would like to see a resolution of support from the Katowic community maybe on this, so I'd ask you maybe to pursue that. Or if you have you talked to the community? I'm sure you must have, but yep. Kind of what your thoughts are there.
Thank you. So noted. Representative Ann Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm excited about this resolution. I'm hopeful that the 1002 area can be opened, and I think it can be done safely. I did want to ask you about page 3, line 27, where there's reference to offshore drilling. Is the emphasis here
what paragraph?
Second to the last paragraph. It seems to me, Mr. Chairman, what you're trying to do is emphasize that if there's going to be any federal reluctance on offshore drilling, it's all the more important to do ANWR. Is that's sort of my take?
It is, and it's twofold. With closing off of offshore, this makes it even more imperative. This is what we have now. And with that being said, it's on land where you can contain things a lot easier, environmentally speaking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to point out that Alaska has demonstrated over and over again how well we do it up on the North Slope. And that's land drilling. We saw what happened with the New Horizons oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And that's some of the dangers that you have going offshore. Why in the world do we want to push people offshore into those dangerous oil spill potential when we can do it safely right here in this 1002 area? I think this is the first thing we need to do right here is open up 1002, because we have proven abilities to do that. I mean, just look at Prudhoe Bay. Look at North Slope. And as been pointed out by our presenter, that it has been safe. Our caribou herds has actually grown since the pipeline has been built. I think it's grown 3 times since then. And it just shows that we can manage our wildlife side by side. It kind of reminds me, maybe we should get one of those, those bumper stickers that say coexist and they have different symbols and everything. Maybe we should put caribou antlers on the end of that too, because we can coexist with the porcupine herd and watch their populations continue to thrive.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a couple other questions, if I may. So, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that historically what I've heard that the footprint that would be in the 1002 area would be similar in size of the Houston airport in the middle of the state of Texas, actually a very small footprint. Could you describe us how much land we're actually talking about would be used, and maybe something we can compare that to?
Okay, through the chair.
Thank you for the question, Representative. Through the chair, it would depend largely on the federal legislation that authorizes the exploration. Recent bills that have been introduced designate less than 2,000 square acres for surface development, and this largely to do with preservation of the land, wildlife species, but also because of the advances in directional drilling. I know that several years ago, Senator Murkowski introduced a bill to allow development of ANWR from outside the borders using directional drilling only.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Nick.
Again, maybe a little more direct. If we're talking the area of 1002, all of 1002, not a federal designee, your resolution doesn't speak to that. Your resolution speaks to the 1002 area in itself in the whole. Do you know how much area that would take for development?
We don't. I couldn't answer that right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Logan?
I think I do, Mr. Chairman. So on page 2 on the second whereas, it does say that the 1002 study area is part of the coastal plain located within the North Slope Borough, and many of the residents of the North Slope Borough, who are predominantly Inupiat, are supportive of development in the 1002 study area. I'm sure it would be, and I'm presuming, and you correct me if I'm mistaken, but I'm assuming that it would be almost pro forma to get a gesture of support from the borough for this. Is that correct?
That is correct. They've already expressed support before.
Okay. And through the chair, my time here in the legislature, I think this is the fifth version of this resolution that's gone forward. I think one every 2 years seems to go forward. So I get the intent of, once again, demonstrating not only the House, but also the entire legislature's unwavering support for the opening of ANWR. I think this is the one resource development project that I can put my finger on that, for better or worse, crosses all political boundaries in terms of support, at least a major resource development project. So that said, you know, I not only support this, but I'd like to see it go through in an expedient manner. We do have our congressional delegation, or at least our two senators, coming into the legislature in about a month's time, and it would be, I think, most appropriate that we would be able to give them, you know, this document passed by both bodies in terms of, again, once again, expressing not only our support with the legislature that has 50 new members, but also to appeal to the incoming administration, you know, the sense of strong support and you know, hopefully even urgency to get this thing moving.
I agree.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You do have in our packet the ANWR land use, and I think it gives a good visual of the hypothetical development areas. So looking at the whole ANWR refuge lands, half of it's protected, 42% of it is wilderness lands, and of course the 1002 area is 8%. Of that, the hypothetical development areas are those two little red dots, which ends up being 0.08% of the entire area. So we're talking a minuscule area in comparison to the whole ANWR land use. So I think this is a good visual to show that it's not even a tenth of a percent.
Yeah.
It's not even a tenth of a percent.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the members of the public who are interested in that, in the resolution on page 3 between lines 6 and 11, they give the actual acreage available on that. But I do have another question. Mr. Chair, staff, do you know if the state has received all the federal lands and federal land transfers that are still due?
Through the chair.
Through the chair, Representative, I believe that we are still due more land from the federal government.
I believe that's my point, Mr. Chair, is maybe you might entertain maybe changes to this resolution that would ask for maybe transfer some of those. I believe DNR would love to have some area like that was state-owned, so we'd get more opportunity to collect the royalties and such off of that to be able to allow maybe some of the transfer of this over to state, because if it is, we haven't accepted all of our federal lands, it would certainly be some valuable land for the state to have under its umbrella for development and control.
Agreed. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding on that point that that we're entitled to 5 million more acres. We've been given either in fee, Representative Tallarico and I just heard about this, in fee or sort of other not yet fully deeded lands of 100 million acres since statehood. We're entitled to 5 million more. My understanding is this would not be land that would be eligible for selection. However, there is a national movement to convert federal land to state ownership. It's my understanding that Secretary-designee Zinke doesn't favor that approach. So I just wanted to share with the body what I know about that. So I think this would not be eligible, but it's a whole new world. We have a new administration, and anything could happen, I suppose.
Thank you, Representative. Any more questions for Mr. Logan?
Yes, one more question. So in terms of who this resolution actually goes to, the copies portion of the document, we don't have the Secretary of Interior listed because the Secretary has not been confirmed. Is there any sense when the Secretary would actually get confirmed? I'm assuming that's a ways out, and it probably doesn't comport with the timetable of this bill. But
through the Chair, Representative, that's correct. We conferred with a few different legal agencies on how we would approach this particular part, and due to the expedience that we're looking for that you mentioned earlier, we left the names out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions to the chair? Hearing none, I'm going to hold this bill until Tuesday when we will have public discussion as well. On record, having concluded our scheduled business for today at January 24th at 11:57 a.m., I'm adjourning today's meeting of the House Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism Committee. Thank you.